Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you, man?
I'm fantastic. Listen, man. We've been together for quite some time now, and I'm so happy that you stand by me. And I think that may be a theme for tonight's episode. Am I mistaken? Where am I getting that from?
I do have a sudden urge, though, to like put a knife to your throat, a lot like Kiefer Sutherland. I mean, we're kind of friends, but I'll also turn on you in a heartbeat.
No, that's totally okay. I expect that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty rusty knife, too, so like, it's not going to be good for you. Well, you have a tetanus shot, don't you?
As of 2003, yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, you should be good. Those last 100 years.
Do they now?
Nope, not at all. Yeah, you guys are listening to the teaser trailer episode, and we're discussing the 1986 drama film Stand By Me. One of my favorites, man. This was on the master list that we created way back in 2017 when we first were thinking about putting this thing together. It's exciting that we still have some movies on there that we have not gotten to, and this is one of them that we're checking off the list tonight. So I'm looking forward to it here. Before we jump into the episode, remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, and YouTube. That is the best way to help support the show. You can also check us out over at backintimepod.com, where JD writes a weekly blog, and you can find a whole bunch of other archival episodes that you haven't listened to in a while. It's all over at backintimepod.com. Now, JD, what are your first memories of watching Stand By Me?
Oh, this is one that I've only seen bits and pieces of. Like, this is kind of like a Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 for me, as in comparison to how this is for you. Like, I've seen clips and long extended scenes, but I don't know that I've sat down and watched this in its entirety.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is really exciting, because I think you're going to absolutely love this movie. It's one of my favorite movies. And if you don't like it, then I hate you.
I feel like I'm going to like it.
Yeah, I think you will too. Yeah, let's go ahead. You know, I guess since I'll share my first memories real quick, and then we'll get to watching the trailer here. But yeah, this was a movie I actually remember watching with my best friend, Justin, who's not JD, a different Justin that I like a lot more. I'm sorry, that was really mean. Just somebody I respect a lot more. Is that a better way to say it?
Oh, no, I've met Justin, other Justin. He's okay. A fantastic man.
Yeah. Has avoided the podcast like an absolute plague, though. I've asked him 100 times.
Yeah, I avoid. Ask me how many episodes I've listened to.
Probably more than him.
I've not listened to a single one.
God, I hate you.
Yep, 237 episodes, and I've not heard our voices once. Love it.
Yep, that frustrates me just a little bit. But, anyway, we would often go to his grandparents' house, which were like second grandparents for me, Mamaw and Papaw's house. And it was a movie that they owned, and one of the few that we were interested in, because old Papaw was into like Westerns and things like that, and that wasn't really our cup of tea. So yeah, we would pop in Stand By Me often. It's a movie that I like, man. You can relate to that when you're growing up as a young boy. You're thinking about like going on adventures with your good friends, like what you might find, you know, sneaking out of the house, taking a road trip, which I never did. But I mean, probably a good thing. I, as a parent now, like, idea of my son like leaving and not telling me where he's going would haunt me. Yeah, I'm glad I did not do that to my parents. Yeah, JD, I know you haven't watched the movie, so why don't we watch the trailer first, get some feedback from you, and we'll dive into it. So you're going to be looking for the trailer uploaded by Johnny Lynch. It has 3.3 million views. I will give a 3-2-1 click countdown, and we'll act like we're watching this for the first time. Sound good, JD?
Let's do it. Three. I was more excited the first time than then.
Three, two, one, click.
In all our lives, there's a fall from innocence, a time after which we are never the same. It happened in the summer of 1959, a long time ago.
Oh, man, wait till you hear this. Wait till you hear this.
What is it, man?
You guys want to go see a dead body?
When the night has come and the land is dark.
We interrupt to bring you an update on the search for the missing 12-year-old Ray Brower.
Kid's gone. They're never going to find him.
Not where they're looking.
And the moon is the only light we'll see.
You think Mighty Mouse could beat up Superman?
Mighty Mouse is a cartoon. Superman is a real guy. No way a cartoon could beat up a real guy.
We're gonna be on every radio and TV show in the country.
I still don't think we should go.
If I can only have one food for the rest of my life, that's easy. Pass. Cherry flavor pass. No question about it.
I'm gonna go someplace where nobody knows me.
We found him. We got dibs.
We better start running, Eyeball. They got dibs.
There's four of us, Eyeball. You just make your move. You're dead.
For some, it's the last real taste of innocence.
I'm never gonna get out of this town, am I, Gory? You can do anything you want, man.
And the first real taste of life.
This is really a good time.
The most a blast.
But for everyone, it's the time that memories are made of.
So die!
All right, JD, start us off, man. What do you think about the trailer?
Stand by me, mother effers. That's a great effing trailer. I'm glad that we eventually got it right and we passed you guys on to a good version, you guys and gals.
Yeah.
There's something about this trailer that is that coming of age innocence that I think a lot of indie filmmakers have tried to capture from the late 90s through the 2000s. Everything from Wes Anderson to the way, way back that we're sort of seeing and witnessing Stephen King as being the backbone of accomplishing it. I don't know. Like I having not seen this movie from toes to nuts, I'm super excited.
Yeah. And I want to point out two things real quick. One, I love the voiceover. I love the movie trailer guy voice as well in this, I think is fantastic. But that Ben King Stand By Me song is the highlight of the trailer for me. Every time they crank that up, I was like, man, that's one of the greatest songs ever written. So if you don't know anything about the Ben King song, it was like the number 4 pop hit in 1961. And then when this movie got released, it re-entered the top 10 in the billboards in 1986 and got all the way to number 9 that year. So, you know,
wow.
3 decades later, you know, the, you know, 2.5 decades later, boom, it's a double hit from Ben King. Yeah. One of the great songs of all time.
Rock had a great sample of that in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. And this, we'll talk about this more in the actual movie. But this soundtrack is fantastic. Buddy Holly, the silhouettes, the coasters, Jerry Lee Lewis. I mean, we are in for a treat once we get into this movie. Let's go ahead and dive into the box office numbers here. Stand By Me debuted at the box office on August 8th, and it was actually limited August 8th to just a couple screens, kind of a soft release, and then nationwide released on August 22nd of 1986. The film was distributed by Columbia with a runtime of 88 minutes, so it's a short watch, and a production budget of $8 million. Opening weekend, Stand By Me was number two at the box office, bringing in $3.8 million. It would move up to the number one spot in week two, bringing in an additional $5 million, taking the 10-day total up to $11.9 million. JD, what are your thoughts on the first 10 days there?
Considering the low budget, that's kind of an excellent little showing.
Absolutely. Now, much like the characters in this movie that go on a journey, the film itself goes on a bit of a journey here, because I'll just tell you right now, JD, the schoolyard is in effect. It is in full effect here, sir, as the movie would stay in the top 10 for 15 weeks. So it was a huge hit domestically, grossing $52,287,414. No additional international money to be found on this end, but what do you think about the final numbers there for the small $8 million budget movie?
Dude, I'm very happy for them. Tip of the hat.
Tip of the hat to them, yeah. And this is right on the heels of, you know, a couple like really good kids movies at that time. Goonies, a year later, Lost Boys, which Corey Feldman's actually in all three of those. Kiefer Sutherland's in two of them, so Some of the same actors kind of crossing over from movie to movie, but yeah, I mean, it's like you had a string of movies like 84, 85, 86, 87, like just back to back to back with these amazing kids movies. And now we get none. Now we get Dora the Explorer for kids to watch at theaters. I'm actually bummed for my son. Like if the best thing that he's going to get is Dora the Explorer or Angry Birds Part 2, we're in trouble.
I think kids are silly and I don't understand them. And I see films like Stand Under Me, the adult version of this.
Oh, dear God. No, there's no Stand Under Me. What? You always take it there.
It's not me. It's Danny DeVito. That he's the one that produces these films.
Why did you say that like Walken? It's not me.
Oh, I break out often into talking like him.
It's like you don't know your own voice half the time. I can't do it. I still can't do it all this time. Practicing. I still can't nail the voice. It's a tough one. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Probably the best thing I've said to you all week. Now,
no, that's not probably. You've said some mean mother effing things to me this week, so I appreciate the confidence.
Yeah. Take it where you can get it. Now, let's dive into the top 10 movies of the week on August 22nd when the movie was released nationwide. Number one movie that week was The Fly. Number two, Stand By Me. Number three, Aliens. Number four, Top Gun. Number five, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2. Number six, Karate Kid Part 2. Number seven, Armed and Dangerous. Number eight, Nothing in Common. Number nine, Extremities? I don't even know what that movie is. And number 10, Ruthless Peeper. Yeah, not Peeper. Peeping Tom. Number 10, Ruthless People. JD, any standouts in there in the top 10? Kind of murderer's row here.
Oh. This is a fantastic week for films. The Fly, obviously, Brundle Seth is fantastic. Jeff Goldblum in all of his glory. We get some Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, some Karate Kid 2. Like, this is a competitive week.
Heck yeah, it was. The fact that Stand By Me actually came out at number 2 tells you how good that trailer was in theaters. Yeah,
that is a great point.
The only points I make. Well, I'm sorry. I got too cocky. Yeah. If I keep it up, I'll get a video from Pat. I'm sorry. Don't prove me wrong. Let's talk a little bit about some of these other movies, though, man. Top Gun. That I'm not a Tom Cruise fan, but I do love Top Gun.
You
mostly
would.
Goose. I like Goose more than I did the other one, which is his character.
You would. You love getting the goose.
I do like a good goose. Also, Chainsaw Massacre 2, Karate Kid 2, Aliens. I mean, gosh dang, man. The Fly. We have some amazing movies in here. I mean, a lot of which we have not touched on.
That's what she said. Okay. And she's right, because we haven't touched them yet.
Yeah, we wouldn't do that without consent. Now, too far?
Yeah, keep that. Print that. That's a print. Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle, everybody.
Every once in a while, when I'm not in the middle of going line,
you just sneak one right into the goose.
Right into the old goose. Yes, thank you. I'll be here. Well, I won't be here at all this week, but shoot me a message on Twitter. Give me a follow. JD, let's talk about the critic and audience response to the movie here. We'll use Rotten Tomatoes to kind of gauge it, but how do you think the critics received Stand By Me?
I know it's a loved movie. I know it's a well-respected movie. I know everything about it is fantastic. I've not seen this movie. I watched the trailer, and I am extremely itchy to watch the movie. Yes, I'm itchy for the movie. I have scabies for the movie.
Yeah, it's not the only thing you have.
Well, we don't talk about the three-letter one.
Okay.
With that being said, I feel like this is the right movie for the right time, with the right soundtrack, with the right actors. Everything about this is a perfect storm of perfection. But at the same time, I feel like there's probably a little bit of hesitation where adult critics don't necessarily respond positively or don't remember their own childhood, especially if they were not necessarily alive during 1959.
Okay.
With that being said, I have nothing but love and positivity to 85%.
Ooh, 85. You are coming in hot. And you're coming in a little under 91% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. And the audience score, a tick better, 94%. So talk about a very beloved film by not only the critics, but also the audience here. I love it, man. I think this just gets you even more on board. If you weren't excited now, you better be excited after that, right?
Oh, totally. Like that's a very, very positive score. Like I'm game on.
Well, let's get to a couple of the critics here and hear what they had to say about the movie. Shella Benson of the Los Angeles Times gave the film 4.5 out of 5 stars, and she said it stands sweet and strong, ribald and outrageous and funny, like its heroes themselves, a bit gammy around the edges, perhaps, but pure and fine clear through. It's one of those treasures absolutely not to be missed. JD, what do you think about her comments?
I am so excited to see a treasure. Few things in the world are treasures, and if this is one of them, and the Arthur is another, then we're in for a treasure trove.
We sure are. We sure are. A lot of big words. I had to actually Google ribald. I might even be pronouncing it right. Fancy education of her. Now let's go on to the next one here. Variety also gave the film a solid review and said scripters have written inspired dialogue for this quartet of plucky boys at the hard to capture age when they're still young enough to get scared and yet old enough to want to sneak smokes and cuss. Well, gives away a little bit of the plot, but what'd you think?
Dude, I try to swear as often as possible, even if I'm like alone locked under the stairs. I'm like, I can sneak smokes or cuss right now. I'm like, damn, shit, fuck. So like, yeah, these little hellions, they know what's up and they're sneaking smokes.
Yeah, absolutely. I love
damn shit, fuck.
It's like the old Blink-182 song. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, shit, box, dirty twat.
Take off your pants and jacket.
Yeah, good song. Probably don't want to play that in front of the old family, but a good song nonetheless. Now, let's talk about what we're looking forward to most next week. For me, I'll start just because I know you haven't watched the movie. It's the relationship of the boys. It's River Phoenix at his absolute best, never better in this movie. And yeah, I mean, it's a shame that we didn't get to see a grown up River Phoenix, because I think he would have been an amazing actor as he got older with age. But yeah, JD, what about you? I know first time through, anything you're looking forward to here?
You know, I'm a little worried that you're interested in seeing the little boy's dynamics and that you're wishing to see a grown-up River Phoenix. I'm just going to go ahead and call you out on that.
I knew you'd go there.
Yeah, well, you didn't have to say what you did. You had a choice. I'm
glad you called me on it.
But realistically, no, I know this is a great movie. I know this is a classic movie. I know everything about this movie holds up. Schoolyard Effect, stands the test of time, and Stand By Me, I'm just simply ready to experience it and see it in all of its glory from nuts to bolts.
Can't say nuts.
Well, I can say it.
You called me, I had to return the favor, but yeah, man, I'm also looking forward to it as well. We want to thank you guys for taking the time to download and listen to the episode. As always, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, and YouTube. You can follow JD's blog at backintimepod.com. You can follow us at backintimepod on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at kautry29. JD is burping at unjustjustin. And we are out of time. Time to climb back into the DeLorean. Punch in today's date and return back to present day. We'll be back in a couple days with the full review. See ya.
Kyle's creepy.